Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hello and greetings. Welcome again to another show. I hope that each of you that are listening tonight are excited to be with us. I pray that you had a very successful, very diligent working week, and these days are flying by. But we're here again on another fifth day. Welcome to the live show. Thanks for catching us live. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're new and you're finding us on YouTube, go to straightwaytruth.com/blogtalk. I'm sorry, I said that all wrong, Mother Jennifer. Go to blogtalkradio.com/straightway. Hallelujah. And you'll find us live. So, to the chat room, thanks for the 10. Give them to me if you hear me loud and clear. We're jumping to Georgia. Mother Jennifer's with me tonight. Let's get some sound check on you. Give a shout-out. Give a praise report. Say a few words, Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Shalom. And bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to all the daughters of Zion. It's so encouraging to just see everything going on within the ministry in Israel, all the building going on, to see the men of Yah going out and really putting boots to the ground and doing the work and I'm just really encouraged by everything that I see. I love the hard work and the dedication that the men put in, the examples that they put before us, the women. It really means a lot. So blessings to all of our leadership, all of the hardworking men in Israel. They work tirelessly in the heat. The temperatures grow above 100 with the heat index and the humidity together, and they work so well together without any complaint at all. So I'm very grateful to be here, very grateful to be a part of this ministry that just removes all excuses. I pray everyone can hear me, and I can hear you well, Sister Ashley, and we can move forward whenever you're ready.
Hallelujah. I like your words, and I want to give praise to the Most High for really being a part of a people that this is who I want to be with. This is the character of the people I want to be like. This is the mind and the mind of Christ that I want to have. People all over the world are joining allegiance with one another to form all sorts of companionships, relationships, huge movements, you know, joining in so many states, countries, to find like-minded people to do what they want to do. And this just so happens to be the Most High's calling upon our life to join together to, you know, make our lives after him, to be holy as he is holy. So I want to be around this type of men. I want to be around this type of women. And I'm very happy, and I'm pleased to be and spend my life this way. And I'm thankful for the calling of the Most High. Hey, so tonight we'll work in some announcements throughout the show, but we do got 50 days until the Feast of Trumpets. We got 59 days until Atonement. We got 64 days until the Feast of Tabernacles. Shout out to my sisters on the land working diligently to continue to build communication with one to another. We're doing great this year. We're harvesting a lot, spending a lot of time together. We're knocking out a lot, really learning who to be for each of them. They're really just doing a great job. We're doing a lot. We're accomplishing a lot. Everyone's growing. Everyone's being, you know, purged and in the fire of the Most High and perfecting themselves. So appreciate each and every one of them. Our days are very, very productive, and I thank the Father for that. Mother Jennifer, I know it's been productive there. Do you want to say anything about the block party?
It has been very productive here, Sister Ashley. It really has. And, you know, when we started out in the beginning, we had so much help, so many women came to help with the block party, and I'm really grateful for that. And, you know, this week we worked with less women, but it seems like we still got a whole lot done, just a whole lot. Everyone remained productive. Everyone remained very positive, and everyone worked literally from sun up until sundown just to make sure that the brothers were taken care of. So I just love everything that everyone contributed to the building of Elder's Home. It is an experience that I will never forget at all. It's like the people are more excited about Elder Rufus getting a home built than Elder is. And I love Israel. I truly do. You will never, ever see another people like the people of Israel. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Hey, let's kick off the conversation. I want to say a few things, and I want you guys to pay attention to how you hear it. How does your spirit respond? Don't receive it as if, you know, I'm saying it or Mother Jennifer's saying it. Just hearing these words, what's it like for you? How do you process it, right? And here it goes. It's an honorable strength and skill to manage your home as a woman. Do you esteem the upkeep and the care and the cleanliness of your home? Do you keep the house clean and diligently strive for that goal? Do you enjoy preparing meals for your family? Do you wake early to manage the household? Do you enjoy homeschooling? Are you improving and growing successfully with your family's vision in mind, with your husband's direction always in your heart? Do you struggle with housekeeping? Maybe you don't like it at all. Can you improve? When you hear a topic like this, each of us could second guess how we keep our homes, depending on how much your husband may or may not be involved in directing you that way. hearing this responsibility as a sister and woman of Christ, what does it do to you? You know, does it make you second guess how you're doing it? Is this an area that you need help in already? Being a keeper of the home and caring for the house, that's what we're talking about tonight, because I was asked to do this show with Mother Jennifer. We were directed to do this show. And so we want to, hey, if you guys got feedback, I would love to hear it. We still got our emails open tonight, straightwayhelpmeets@gmail.com. I'm going to give you a little direction. We still got our phone lines open. It may or may not even be a long show. Please set aside some time to just soak it in. Listen to it. You know, out of all the many voices that you could be listening to, take heed to the Ruach who is cleaning us up. That is what he does, and I appreciate that. I don't know if you guys have had a wonderful, clean home life growing up as a child or not. I don't know if anyone ever helped you or taught you or trained you to clean or not, or if you were just on your own. But we come from many different backgrounds and ethnic teachings and trainings, and there is one biblical standard for the keeper of the home, and that does involve cleanliness. And I want to read a couple of verses, Mother Jennifer. I'll give you an opportunity to add a little bit to our introduction and conversation tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I'm glad that you started out with talking about being a keeper of the home, because when you look at Titus 2, and you look at that definition of being the keeper of the home, it means that you are domestically inclined. So it's something that the Father has already put in you. It is something that you should desire. You should be willing to keep the home very clean. You know, you should, this is a gift. This is something that is your role. So this isn't something that is foreign. This is something that may have been stripped from you growing up in this particular world, you know, before the faith, not understanding what your role is. Because in the world, you see that women are pampered. You know, women are not required to do anything. Women are not required to be keepers of the home. But in the faith, this actually is our role. We should be domestically inclined. It means that we are favorably disposed toward keeping the home clean and keeping the children in order. So it's really an order that takes place. Sister Ashley?
When we hear any sort of conversation, you know, or message that is to better ourselves, it can be convicting. And the conviction, once it's felt, can also be met back with any form of pride. You know, any of us could do that, to where we justify ourselves. And I just want to say that because none of us can have a arrived position. Maybe there's that handful or even 50% of women who have their home, their husband's home, or as a single mother, home, in complete order and great function, clean and high in value. But for any or all of us, there's always room for adaptation and growth. As another woman might come into your husband's home, as more children might be added to the home, as changes are made, as community grows, as you move from one home to a community, all sorts of changes will allow you to increase your knowledge to apply to being a keeper of your home. And so I just want to say that we shouldn't hear from an arrived position, that we should be very open to how we can master the managerial skills that it takes to run the home. And you know that running the home and managing the home and the family from a woman's perspective can be very complex or very stressing, because women universally run from it. And to get them back to their biblical role, to conquer it, causes them a lot of stress, showing them the out of order and dysfunction of our minds. So it's definitely been a wonderful growth process for me. And there are times, Mother Jennifer, that you may have, you know, gaps in your understanding. Maybe you go from a young girl to a married woman. Maybe you go from single to married to a new man. Maybe there's those changes in circumstance from community, et cetera, that's going to need a little bit of compassion and understanding when it comes to you meeting a standard. But tonight, we just want to come from a perspective that doesn't allow any excuses. So even though we speak with compassion, because there's so many minute details in everyone's life to where maybe you don't even meet the standard that you desire, none of us, mother or myself, can make you or force you to clean better or to change a standard or to change anything about yourself or your husband's home. Only the Ruach can do that. So it's very humbling to speak on a topic like this and just come from our experience, because as aged women and as we age, we are supposed to, according to the word, teach younger women. And that teaching, as Mother Carol has always said, is only applied to those who receive the teaching and who want it. So I want to go to Titus 2, as you just mentioned, and I want to read this. It says that the aged women, which according to the word just means old woman, she would be the one, according to our biblical knowledge, according to our customs, according to what is written here in Titus, we would all understand that they were the ones to teach us the behavior, okay? What behavior would they teach us? What behavior should she teach me, you know, an aged woman? What behavior should she teach me? She would teach me, according to Titus, to be holy and not to be a false accuser. So she would be very reverent. She would show reverence to the order of Yah, to men, her man, her husband, leaders, just a man. She would be very reverent. She would also not be given to too much wine, because it does change your character. And that she would teach that younger woman to be a teacher of good things. Okay? Women are teachers. We do show one another who and how to be. We do show many children who to be and how to be. In Titus 2:4, that aged woman would teach the young women to be sober, which is to have a correct mind, a sound mind. She would teach the young women to love their husbands, because what his pastor always said, the woman doesn't know how. And then she would teach that younger woman also to love her children, because it's not always natural. You don't know how. And then she would teach her to be discreet, which really is to be self-controlled. That's supposed to be taught to us. That was supposed to be taught to me. That was supposed to be taught to Mother Jennifer if we grew up in this way. And the aged woman would also teach the younger to be chaste, which is to be clean, to be very innocent, to be very pure. And then she would teach her to be a keeper at home. And that keeper at home is the verse and the word that Mother Jennifer just said to you. Repeat it again, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. The word keepers at home. Is that the word you're talking about? Domestically,
yes, ma'am.
Inclined?
Yes,
ma'am.
Inclined.
To be domestically inclined and favorably disposed toward keeping the home.
All right. To have favor towards the home. That's how we're supposed to be taught. And so any of those things, if you don't have those behaviors, if you have and you've been a false accuser, if you haven't loved your husband, if you haven't loved your child or been discreet, if you haven't been chaste or pure, then you need to be taught. And that's what this is about. That's what coming to the Father is about, coming to his ministry and his order is about. It's about being taught. And it does take a humility. to be taught, a sincere humility. And we're a very proud generation. I myself have experienced many layers of pride. So we have to be, according to the word here, a keeper at home. Okay, so now let's kick off the conversation. If you have had an experience, let's say for example, because we can't take really long emails, but if you have anything through tonight that you want to share that would be an experience at your home growing up, like I had a young daughter I was just going to, you know, ask a few questions with, and her experience was kind of unique because she had a mother who was terribly unclean, you know, not well kept. The home wasn't kept up. She didn't have anything that she really poured into her. And then now knowing her and knowing how much she's changed and how her priorities and her focus have been taught by the word, by other women in the ministry, knowing who she is now, it's really a positive, wonderful testimony. And that's what it's about. It's not about tonight as you're listening, maybe looking around your home and going, you know you fail. Like, seriously, you fail. You fail your husband in this area, you fail yourself, and you have some serious issues that you need to change. Okay? Well, let's move forward. Let's hear without offense. Let's just clear our minds and work on it. For all of us who are managing our husband's home, we know that it is about diligence. It's about continually, diligently keeping yourself busy, occupied at all times towards his mind. It's not about a Better Homes and Garden kitchen. If you're feeding 5, 6, 2, 7, right? When it's time to clean it, it can be Better Homes and Garden. When it's time to feed your family, it's going to mess up. Okay, so just want to throw that out there, not to once again have any form of excuse, but just to remember the word diligent when you're looking for the best way to make your husband's house shine, to really make it the best version of itself. How can this house be its most productive best? And you really are the key player in that. You're home all day. And that's where the large majority of those who are listening, maybe many of you have careers, jobs, single mother, or just a single woman needing to work. There's many, many details in your life, but you also are responsible for the upkeep of your body, your temple, your flesh, and your dwelling place. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you brought up the point about moving forward. You know, when you get stuck in condemnation, you get stuck in your mind, you get stuck in the past, and this is about moving forward, like Sister Ashley said, just removing all of the excuses. So as you listen tonight, think about all the excuses that are typically made in your mind. Forget about, you know, your dreams and your desires. It's all about really representing him. It's about representing Yah first and foremost and representing your husband. I have seen women who live in trailers, you know, very minimal things inside the trailer, but their homes are immaculate. They look very, very nice. So it's not about what you have inside of your home. It's about the cleanliness of your home. Sister Ashley?
It is about the cleanliness of your home. It is and can be a coping mechanism to have a conscious issue right in front of your face and not be able to fix it or not to put the care or attention into fixing it. Pastor had spoke about defense mechanisms just this past Shabbat, right? And we know that to affect the feelings and the thoughts and the behaviors that underlie our problems in our minds. It's the go-to. You know, defense mechanisms of insecurity and anxiety and all the list that he gave, the things that we can fall back on that are often subconscious, okay? Well, coping mechanisms are conscious. They're like purposeful processes in our life. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep this room this way. I'm going to, stack this box this way. I'm going to not mop or not, you know, not shower. Some of those filthy processes we need to change. And perhaps you just need to be told. Perhaps it needs to be a spark inside of you provoked by even an offensive ear. Whatever it takes to look around and say, I'm not living up to standard. And it's a scary thing to reflect on when we raise our children in homes that are filthy, whoever or wherever these homes may be. It's scary to consider because your children are going to grow up either no better or with a sad testimony of their home life. And we know that that filth inside a home really breeds demonic issues, insecurities, rejections, things that will speak to your children's minds. So I wanna really ask you a few questions, Mother Jennifer, and I want to spark your thoughts on self-centeredness. I want to ask you, is poor homekeeping self-centeredness?
It is, Sister Ashley. It is self-centeredness because when you have a poor sense of homekeeping, you know, and you don't keep your home the way that it should be, you're only thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about others who have to walk through and sit and look at the squalor that you actually choose to live in. It's very self-centered because you might have visitors who come and they might think that, you know, this is just a normal way of life when it just really is not. We should be an example in all things, in the way that our homes look, in the way that we present our homes when we're receiving guests. We should be lovers of hospitality. That is another role that we have. You know, when you think about the roles that the Father has given us as women, a dirty home does not help to bring that role about. It just does not. So when you think about being a good keeper of the home, the environment should be appealing for you, but it really is for others first and foremost. It's a representation of Yah. And it's a representation of your husband if you are married. And it's also a representation of you. So when I say you should make the environment appealing, that would be what is seen. If somebody comes through your front door, what do they see? Is that appealing? Is it going to represent you well? Is it going to represent Yah well? Is it going to represent your husband well? What is the environment of what someone would hear? Are the children unruly? Is there, you know, just a lot of commotion going on? What does the home smell like? Does it smell fresh? Is it, do you have a lot of putrid smells because you need to take the trash out because there's dirty dishes that are not done? So think about those things. It is very selfish when you don't keep the upkeep of your home up to par the way that it should be. It says that you're only focused on you, and I don't feel like doing this, so I'm not going to. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I was pondering which direction to go next, Mother Jennifer. You had asked me a few questions prior to the show. Will you shoot one at me now? It doesn't matter which one you pick or just kind of how we had dialogued briefly.
Yes, ma'am. The first question that that I want to ask you is, you know, what if you have a husband? So it's a woman who's married. What if you have a husband and he does not have a high standard of cleanliness for his home? What should a woman do in that situation? If the husband does not have a high standard of cleanliness for his home, what should a wife do in that particular situation? And what should her mindset be? Mr. Ashley?
First, I want to say that we all are very consciously aware of the speech that we should have to a sister who asks a question concerning how her husband thinks. So I know this is not pertaining to the cleanliness question for a second, but I just want to say that when you're speaking to someone who is asking honestly about their husband or his mind or the way that he is, you have to be very careful. Because first and foremost, she might be very honest and upright and really, really needing help, right? So you never want to turn her finger or her focus onto the man. And then second of all, she might be very, she might be blame-shifting and really pointing the finger at him and wanting you to side with her. So you have to be aware of that, too. So I want to say that according to Titus 2, when it tells the woman to be the homekeeper and that we should be taught by the aged women to be that, it says that the young man shall be sober-minded, and in all things he should show himself a pattern of good works, doctrine, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, can't be condemned. But it doesn't teach him anything about the house. And then when you go to what the aged man should do and be, and he should be sober and he should be grave and temperate and sound in faith and in charity and patience, it doesn't speak of how he should be concerned about the house. And so neither of them are instructed in the homekeeping, though do I personally believe they should be involved in directing and managing the home to their standard? Absolutely. But if he's not, you should rise to your own standard of cleanliness, that we are to be the chaste keeper at home, that we should be, you should be clean, aiming to teach your children to be clean, and having him pleased in your environment. Do I believe that a man should give you instruction? Sure. But what if he doesn't? If you've ever saw me sweep the floor with Deacon Bill anywhere near me, he will point to everything that's on the floor that I missed. So that's what I'm used to. I will be chasing little crumbs in each little area as we laugh as he directs my broom. That's the truth. Since we've been married, it's the funniest thing. And so I believe that, you know, the man should be very, very pleased with his home, very directing, you know. And also, for example, as I learned different ways to keep my home, number one was too much stuff, okay? Number two, it was the focus on cleaning front areas or areas where people may come in, but not his room first, okay? And then you start catching these behavioral patterns. These are along the ways, you know, and you start changing those. And so there's always layers to go, okay, I need to work on this. You know, let me get it to a way that I can manage it. Because if it is too much or too much stuff, if I can't keep up, then we can change that factor. It can become something that you never even saw in your own vision, you know. And I think that no one else is going to inspire you to do that but your own connection with the Ruach and other women in your life. I've learned a lot of things from great women, motivated women in my life that have shown me where I can come up, you know, where I can change. And once again, that's another shout out and praise to the Father for him putting us all together, because it is about adding to yourself what you're lacking, you know. And so I think that's how I would answer that sister who is in need of a change, who doesn't receive the direction from her husband concerning his house. Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, absolutely. And we have to remember that we are his helpmeet. And so you have a man who may be going out to work all day. He's getting up while it's still dark, and he's coming home when it's dark. When does he have time to worry about the way that the house looks? You know, that is something that the Father charged you with. You have to remember, you are the helpmeet. And so it really takes a level of humility to confess to the Father that this is just not something that I grew up learning. It's not a desire that I have, but Father, I truly want your desires. I desire what you have charged me with, and I have failed. So the first step is just really repentance, and then the Father will definitely meet you where you're at. But we can't make the excuse of, you know, well, he doesn't tell me to, so it's not important. You have to remember it's been charged to the woman. Sister Ashley?
Well said. And I think, you know, with the camaraderie that you should have in your covenant relationship, you should have The reason I use camaraderie, realizing that we don't have equal positions, is that we should have a bond that's really strong, and that the husband should, as a provider, protector, and strength in your house, be able to speak to you about anything. What I mean by that is, does he believe that he will be challenged by you to even bring it up? You know, what would be your response? What would be your hurt? What would be your speech if he even said your home is not to his standards? So I always try to put it back on her, because like Mother Jennifer said, right, he's not going to bother himself with it. It's not his calling, but it is his peace, and it is what he should want to come home to, and that we can most definitely take care of. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, ask something else. You had three questions. Guys, we had sisters, I should say. We had a caller, and it's 304. 304, I want to answer you, but I want to make sure you're show-related, okay? Tonight we're talking about cleanliness of the home, and I want to make sure you have something to add to that, because sometimes it's an accidental cue. Okay, so if you're calling in tonight, guest call in 310-982-4226. Keep it show related. Maybe you want to share a short experience about your transformation and how what you're doing now to care for your home that you weren't, or maybe you want to share how terrible home life was and you weren't trained at all from your mother, and that is the case for a lot of women. So maybe you have some of those stories. You can send in your email, etc. 304, you can hang up if you didn't mean to call in. If you're still in my queue in just a few minutes, I'm about to answer you. All right? Mother Jennifer, let's go. What you got?
Yes, ma'am. Next question is, what if you grew up with a family who did not teach cleanliness and properly caring for the home? How do you, in your older years, even learn to unlearn that behavior? So this could be a woman who is not a young woman. She's older. She might be an aged woman, and she did not grow up learning how to properly take care of the home. And she's asking, how do you, in the older years, learn to unlearn that poor behavior? Sister Ashley?
How would she, you know, honestly, as much as we really do as an assembly and as a ministry really gain our strength from one another, and we really promote keeping ourselves within this ministry and growing together, I still must say on this topic, there is probably thousands of videos out there, YouTube, et cetera, maybe even Netflix, documentaries, movies, et cetera, something that you could really begin to apply how to tidy, organize, or clean your home. You know, there's a lot of it out there. As far as being on the inside, being in a community, having friends and fellowship and sisters of like mind, you would go to someone that you know is growing in it or mastering it, and you would ask questions, you know, how can I fix this? What can I do? What would you do? You know, and, yeah, just humble yourself to someone. There is entirely too many mature women or experienced women in life that can teach you for you to stay in the condition that you're in, you know. So just humble yourself. And most definitely, if you want knowledge, the Most High Yah says to ask of him. And so he is our teacher. And when you ask things in line with his order and his ways, it delights him to give you answers. And he'll use all sorts of avenues or people to do that. So never exclude him in your growing process, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, that's very sound. Sometimes you have to look at the person who is not necessarily aged, but they do have the experience with juggling chores and making sure that their home is taken care of, making sure that the children are taken care of, making sure that everything is in order. And if you see that in someone, regardless of how old they are, humble yourself and literally sit at their feet and learn from them so that you can learn the things that you need to be a Hebrew woman the way that the Father has intended it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. 304, we're going to you. Anyone who calls in live tonight, please step away from your speaker and don't talk to us through speakerphone. Okay? Step away from your computer speaker and don't talk to us through speakerphone or even a headset. Sometimes it causes a lot of feedback. We're going to area code 304. 304, you're live with Mother Jennifer and myself, Sister Ashley. Thanks for calling in. Bless you. Who are we speaking to?
Bless you, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer. This is Sister Angela. I'm in West Virginia. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, Angela, I actually know your face. I've received enough of your emails and seen your little selfie shot. I know who I'm talking to, so I want to encourage you that way. But please, go ahead.
Thank you. Bless you. I do have something to say because I'm passionate about this subject. So I appreciate you saying that it needed to be on topic. I'm very passionate about it, and I hope that what I say is received with the utmost humility. I wanted to say, like, I'm an aged woman, first of all, and I'm a baby boomer. So when I was growing up, there was no such thing as what we see today with the way children disobey their parents and, you know, talk back. And so I was brought up in a house with five brothers. I'm the only girl and the youngest. And as the only girl, when I was younger, I always thought it was so unfair that I had to clean up after my brothers. But that was charged to me. And so, as you know, as a child, I had to make my bed before school. That was like a rule for me, you know. And my grandmother even made me wash dishes like right after dinner. I would always try to rebut and say, well, can I at least let my food digest? And she would say, well, it will digest as you wash the dishes. So I just want to say that for younger women with girls who are raising girls, and I have an only girl as well. I have three children and two sons, and my daughter is the youngest. But I had to teach her, and I think that what helped her a lot is that, like, when I would tell her to clean her room, I first would give her the opportunity to clean it her way, although she knew the standard of the house that I kept. And then, you know, she would say, I've done it, Mom. And I would go in there, and on the surface, it looked clean, you know, walk in the room. But being who I am and how I was raised, I look under the bed, in the closet, and I'm like, no, 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 no. You know, because she would throw stuff under the bed, you know. And so what I did was I helped her a few times, and I gave her a template, so to speak. This is what I expect. This is what I expect as cleaning your room. And if that's not done that way, then you haven't fully obeyed. So I guess, I mean, I hope that will help if someone has younger girls who want to, I would say, pull the wool over your eyes and say, well, I did what you said, you know. But just, you know, thoroughly, I think the main thing for that was for me to give her a template, to show her what I expected to be clean. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was I never wanted to be – I've been married twice. I was married for 28 years the first time, and the second time I was married for 10 years, and I live alone now. But even living alone, – I still have that standard of my house because I never want to be that person who can't receive unexpected company. And when I say that, I mean, you know, there may be times where someone may call and say, hey, I'm going to stop by. I never wanted to be that person that had to rush and, oh, my God, such and such is coming by. I need to fix, you know, clean, you know, the surface. And I think the Bible, Jesus speaks about that in the Bible, how we, excuse me, tend to clean the outside of the cup. And it really goes back to our temple as well, where we look clean on the outside, but inwardly, you know, we're not clean. And if your house is that way and you're, you know, you're trying to cover up what people can see on the surface, or like you mentioned earlier in the conversation, the outer rooms, what people will normally go into. But I just, and I just didn't want to be that person. I never wanted to be that person that had to rush and clean. And I'm trying to make this a little bit shorter. Give me 1 second. So the other thing is, like, even now as a single woman, I still hold myself to that same standard. You know, I'm the only one in the house, and it doesn't get dirty that much, but I still clean. I still have to mow my own lawn. I still have to tend my little garden, wash my car. And my car is the same way as my house. You know, people will say, well, why you don't need to have your car so clean? Well, it's where I sit when I go to drive, you know. So it's just the same thing. But the other thing I wanted to add before I go is that we also, for myself, I have to be careful with boundaries, and because my children have often told me that I have OCD and I clean up around people while, you know, so I have to be careful that I'm really allowing people around me within my home to enjoy themselves and worry about the cleaning later. If that makes sense. And not be so overbearing. So that's basically what I wanted to add. Bless you, and thank you for taking my call.
Bless you, and thank you. Hallelujah. That's Angela from West Virginia. She said a few things, actually, that I want to take and roll into the conversation, Mother Jennifer. One of them was that it's something that my mind took, though it might not be her exact words, is really what is getting the majority of our time, you know? What is getting the majority of your time? Is it your cell phone? You know, is it your children? Is it your home? You know, what's getting the majority of your time? Because pursuits outside of the home for this generation is really what has destroyed the care and concern for the home. You know, so when you have a career or a project that's outside the house that's, you know, inappropriately esteeming the house, the way that the Most High, or maybe even your husband, or as she says, she's even single, and she tries to keep those standards. So you have to really reel your concern in, you know, reel it in. Make the house of high concern and high esteem, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you brought that up. That was actually in my notes. You know, when you think about excuses that you constantly hear in your mind, or you think about excuses that are made regarding not keeping the home clean, think about how much time do you make for social media? You know, how much time do you make to actually look on your phone? How much time do you make to watch movies? You know, how much time do you make to just sit around? So think about that. When you think about that, it will really help to give you a gauge of how much time you actually waste during the day. And like you said early on, Sister Ashley, we should remain busy. When you look at how our men work in the ministry, the women should really match that same level of activity.
Yes.
Sister Ashley?
Yes, yes, we should match that activity. There are diligent efforts daily going forth from our men, at least here, and I think it is our reasonable duty to follow that. When our job is to keep the home and their job is to provide, we should match their work efforts, you know, with our homekeeping skills or any managerial skills that we have that we put our hands to. So I do believe in that. And you may always feel behind, but feeling behind is really just consistently keeping the list of things that need to be done on your mind continual. You know, you're crossing something off and something else is going on. And that's managing, you know, that's managing and being a keeper of the home. So you just don't want to make excuses. I do want to say that this is a very kind way to speak about some of you who may have sincere issues. I can only imagine if Pastor Dow were to do a show about our homes, how straightforward it would be, and it wouldn't be so, you know, soft-spoken, can I say. If you have a messy home or an unlivable home or even unsafe, you know, there can be an underlying mental health issue, truly. There truly, truly can. if you don't want to clean, if you don't like it, if you don't think about your baseboards, you don't think about your walls, you don't think about your ceiling fans, you don't clean out your refrigerator, you don't pull stuff from behind the wall, you know, you don't organize or sort out through your children's clothes as they get older, the children can't find anything. You know, when your children need to be well kept, they need to, hey, I'm looking in your ears, under your fingernails, I'm looking at your teeth every single night, no matter how sick I've been, I'm going to observe your teeth. Maybe the exception of a few feasts when we're slammed in long days and long nights. Other than that, it's 365 year round, I'm looking at your teeth and your toes, right? And no matter how much they don't want you to, no. We need to show our children how to keep themselves clean. It is very important, right? So as dirty as mine may get, believe me, behind the scenes, we're always looking for new habits, right? Habits to take care of themselves and to create an independence, especially with our young boys, create an independence to follow their father and to really care about themselves. But I most certainly want to say, if you're not going to clean the home, who's going to do it? And surely you don't have a voice that would say he needs to. Because it really isn't his responsibility. If my husband wants to sweep, that's great. He'll grab a broom, right? If he wants to take the center of the vacuum cleaner out and go dump it, right, because it's got all the dust in, that's great. But he doesn't have to ever put his hand to anything in the home to upkeep it, right? It's only by his choice. So let's not have that mind or that finger point. It is, I believe, a little bit of a custom, you know, coming from just America, you know, where the roles are to be equal, you know, that he should care for the children in the home the same way that you do, and you've been there and working all day. You know, maybe you do have that mind. It's something you need to crucify within yourself, especially if you're new to taking care of his house. But who will do it? That's what you ask yourself. Who will do it if I don't do it? And how can someone else be victorious in this area? How can someone else be, you know, organized and I can't? You know, how can someone else declutter and I can't? You know, like start looking at that. Start making small victories. In the early days, Pastor Dowell made the home visits to make sure homes were clean. I don't know how many of you could stomach that without some form of accusation. Could Pastor Dowell go in your house, just as Angela said from West Virginia, I don't want to have to scurry around and make my house some kind of way that it isn't all year round just because somebody's coming over, right? You want to stay on top of it. And that was one of my big goals. It's like, all right, we need to, I feel like I'm picking this up to clean it under it to move it over here. We need to take care of this. And so it's been a continual working process. I'm 40 years old. I'm still learning. I have Carolina sitting in the audience behind me tonight. Carolina, you've been a great motivator for who I am in Deacon's Home. She's always had great skills, great eyes of organization. That's what she's known for here at the community. There are people that have been put, you know, around me and in my life that's inspired me to do better, and I think it would be very neglectful to not make changes, you know. So I'm sure some of you don't have the visual in front of you, but you can create it. You can type that in YouTube. You can get a visual, a video, you know, a help guide some kind of way. Why? Because it's not about just you. I think, Mother Jennifer, sadly, I think that we can have filth and poor home conditions when we want more attention and we're not getting it. And that's something that's really unsettled subconsciously because it takes a lot of, you know, self-reflection to say, yeah, that's me, you know. Like, you want a high five for a good job that you're doing, right? So how long you want to do a good job and not get a high five? And so what happens is you stop doing it. You know, you're not going to do it because no one cares and no one else is going to do it, right? And the last thing we want is, okay, let your husband tell you that he's going to take another woman and she's going to come in and clean that house way better than you ever did, right? And then you're in that uproar. It's like, no, let's just take care of it to the best of our ability and capability, and if he brings another woman, it ain't because of your lack. It's because of his heart, right? Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. I want to say Sister Angela did bring up another good point that I wanted to bring out. She talked about the cleanliness of the vehicle that you drive. You know, if you, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you have children, your vehicle should be clean. I remember Pastor saying that when Mother Carol goes grocery shopping and she brings the vehicle back it is always clean. She washes it. She vacuums it. She makes sure that she brings it back clean. For those who have children, you understand that children make messes. You know, you might give them a snack in the vehicle. You have to make sure you clean that up. Their car seats will retain food. You can't just leave those items sitting in the car because it's still a representation of your husband's household. You can't just say, oh, he'll get it. No, it's still an extension of your home, and especially if you're on a community. You don't have a vehicle to call your own. It belongs to everyone. So you have to be conscious of the fact that this vehicle that I'm using, someone else is going to drive it after me. Someone else may need it. I need to consider that other person. I would not want to drive a vehicle that's full of filth. I would not want to do that. So I should not expect someone else to drive a vehicle that's full of my filth. Sister Ashley?
Well said. You know, we share vehicles on community, and whatever home standard you have, it will be in the vehicle. For example, if we take, we share, you know, vans or family vehicles and cars, we will clean it when we get back. Deacon will shop vac it out. And we will do the windows because children touch windows. And we will thoroughly clean it because somebody else is going to drive it. And then we're going to put gas in it, yes, just like Mother Carol. And if either of those are not done to the standard, then we will communicate it to the very next driver. I can't tell you how many times I'll say to the next driver, what time do you leave tomorrow? I need to do this, right? Or when you get back, I'll take care of it and clean it out because I didn't have time. You need to take it early in the morning. Whatever the communication is, we're so very diligent about sharing a car. So I want to share that for a community, for sisters, you know, being diligent to teach your children. When we go out or if we eat, we only get certain things that need to be eaten within the car. You know, everything is not a car food. It is not, depending on the age of your child, you know. And so that's some old habits that you can ditch, you know, and make new ones. Those are some of the changes that you can actually do to make your life more at peace, too, to take along those snacks in the car ride that you want to deal with, you know. Like some of those maturing motherhood skills that are like, I want to deal with this in the car. If he drops it, we're cool, right, but I don't want to deal with this. So let's pack this way, you know. Some of those things make you a mother, make you who you are. So remember again, this message will be very different coming from Pastor Dow, right? And that's not for me to say, you know, to put fear into you, but it is to bring about an awareness that this is easier to receive. This is easier to swallow, you know. So if you have a lack of organization like I do, honestly, you don't beat yourself up, right, because you don't have a knack for organization. You just don't allow excuses to keep you from having a comfortable home and being clutter-free. You know, there shouldn't be chaos. You shouldn't have difficulty in throwing things away, right? So recognize where you're at within your home and whether you need to mirror yourself off of somebody else or not. Maybe I need to go, hey, man, Carolina's really got this down. I need her. Or maybe you're somebody that don't want to do that. Maybe you just want to get it together yourself. Either way, you recognize it and you move forward and you want that home to be its absolute best, whatever that is. Not comparing it to Better Homes and Gardens. Right? Now comparing it to that magazine home. But ask yourself, all right, am I a poor homemaker? Do I lack seeing myself in this area? Have I avoided it? Am I passive? Right? Am I lethargic in taking care of my husband's home? Step up and speak to yourself. Right? If the man is charged to provide and he doesn't work, what would we say about him? He's a sluggard, right? He's not making a living for his family. He's lazy, and the word speaks of a man like that. He's not even worthy to eat. So for the woman who cares for her home, that it is her diligent service to maintain and upkeep, what would we say about that woman? Right? whether nothing to do with the children or the man, just you and your character, right? So, Mother Jennifer, your thoughts?
Yes, ma'am. I'm glad you brought up getting rid of things, you know, because I find that, you know, sometimes people have a really hard time getting rid of things because they're so attached to materialistic items, things that don't add to their salvation at all. They're so attached to them. And if you're having a hard time staying organized or keeping things clean, then you need to really consider the fact that you just might have too much stuff, and you need to go through and get rid of the things that you know that you do not need. It's very, very important to be able to do that. Sometimes you can just kind of go through and do every 6 months, just do a purge, you know, get rid of the things that you know are not needed and learn how to live a very minimalistic lifestyle. What if you have to leave, you know? What if you have to move? How long would it take you to pack up all of your stuff? And when I think about having too many things, I think about clutter. And when you think about clutter, there is a clutter that takes place in your mind. You can't properly think when things are out of order. So it's always good to go through and declutter and get rid of things that you know that are not a need. You know, I think a lot of us have this perception or this concept of what we believe are needs and what are actually wants. So you have to evaluate that as well. So there's a lot of unlearning that takes place in this whole process. Sister Ashley?
Very good. Hey, out of the three questions that we talked about earlier, like from your mind and you just sent me in text, did you ask them all to me? Did we cover those?
I have one more, but I actually have an email that I would like to read, if that's okay with you.
Yes, of course.
It says, I bless all of you who are listening, my beloved sisters. Thank you for putting together this show, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. While my father was in the military, my mother was a stay-at-home mom of two. She made the house feel like home to us. Being clean is one of the things I have learned from my mother. The husbands work so hard that all they want when they get home is a nice, peaceful, loving, clean home. This is what my mother has taught me, and being a mother of six children has been challenging at times. But from the age of two, I taught my children to do chores around the house, from folding rags to cooking. Despite the fact that my mother wasn't perfect, I am grateful for her. My mother also ensured that she looked nice and pretty every time my father came home. Sometimes women forget to take care of that side of themselves, because they are so busy being a mom, daughter, sister, etc., that they forget to take care of what their husbands want. Since I've been with my husband for almost 10 years, I've done that every morning before doing any chores spiritually as well, and he appreciates it. Not to have any attitudes when asked to do things. My children wake up early, they make their bed, they put dishes away, and so much more. In all, I'm raising my children to not be dirty inside and out. I'm grateful growing up to a loving home and a broken home, if that made sense. It molded me into the woman that I am today. Being in this faith has definitely taught me a lot more about myself, doing things in a righteous way as a wife and mother and sister. I represent my husband's home as he represents Yah. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Beautiful. And I do hope that he has that exact same testimony. I really do. That's what's most important, because it's very very sincere to hear that kind of report, and it's very motivating, right? So I think that if that's true, you could be an example for someone else to follow. And when we are examples, no matter where we are in our life, it's really important to stay humble, so that others can approach us as an example, because if at all you've ever been good at something and it elevates you, then you'll never be used, you know, honestly, because people can't see through the pride. I know that's kind of off off topic a little bit, but just want to throw that out there that let's say some or any of us have good homes or homekeeping skills, 50% to 100%. If you're going to be an example, then you should be able to condescend down to the one who's really needing you, you know, to the new mom or the new mother or the new wife, you know, just trying to change her ways and you know, want to do better and sees you as an example. So, hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, I think you got one more email.
Yes, ma'am.
It just came in for me, if you got it. It's on top.
I don't see it, Sister Ashley. I'm sorry. I'm refreshing and I don't see it. Okay, yes, ma'am.
Let me read it. And I'm like, I wasn't looking at the screen when you were reading, so I don't think this is the same. But it says, I failed my master prior to being in the truth and not honoring his desire to pull me off the job. My master started with talks of pulling me off the job back in 2008, and I bucked really hard, and I continued to work. My master was gracious with me and long-suffered me until July of 2022. When I shared with him that my last day was July 31st, he told me my last day would be July 11th. And so, indeed, it was that. Just last week, my master asked me, do I miss being off my job? And my response was, heck no. I truly wouldn't change it for anything. It's a blessing to be able to be my master's helpmeet, to pour into his seeds and be a keeper of his home. Since growing deeper into the truth, I'm in a place of asking Yah to help me not to walk in my flesh, but into his spirit, that I remain in constant obedience and submissiveness to my master, to the mothers, mamas, and seasoned sisters who counsel me. Thank you, so I can gain wisdom, accountability, and joy as they are protecting my soul as I grow in my role and a daughter of the Most High. Hallelujah. She says she's a Isha of her master, a mother to his seed, and a sister to sister of Israel. Blessing to you, Mother Jennifer, and Sister Ashley, for the admonishment. It's truly necessary. Hallelujah. I want to say there's a common theme, too, from Angela's call to even just a recent comment that you made, Mother Jennifer, that we should be teaching our children how to be clean as well. You can get in the rhythm of caring for your child when they're little, from newborn stage to one, two, three, whatever, and you can kind of forget that, hey, he needs to be peeing already in the toilet. Hey, she needs to know how to brush her teeth already. You shouldn't be doing that. You know, and the more, like if you have another child or you're pregnant again, then for me anyway, my husband requires me to teach that child that is alive something that it doesn't do to help when you have the little one, right? So let's teach you how to clean the bathroom sink. Let's teach you how to clean the toilet. Right, so we can continue to work this well-oiled machine all the way through purification. Let's grow these children up, right, not keep them all little and keep them so dependent on you. And so you can discern when your child is ready. And there's a lot, especially for little girls, I've always used Angelica for a great example of, you know, Judith working by her side and knowing how to do things so well. She's a great example. And maybe, you know, Evelyn, you're a great example too. There's probably so many, and I don't mean to just throw a few names out there, but there are somebody that you can find that's teaching their child at an appropriate age how to do something that's kind of, you know, inspiring, really. It'll let you know as a mother what you're behind on and what you got to catch up to. So once again, remember, being a homekeeper, a chase keeper at home is managerial skills. It is a constant flow of things that aren't getting done that need to be done every day. You know, it's a constant flow of doing something and being diligent at it while your list continues to grow. And so as you get accustomed to that, then you'll lose your, I got to say, OCD, that everything has to be done. You know, I think, Carolina, our generation, our moms are OCD, right?
Yeah.
Angela called in. Her mom was OCD. Or maybe she said she's a little bit OCD. So maybe you're the generation where my mom was OCD. Johanna, your mom was OCD. We talked about that. Carolina, was your mom OCD?
My mom was OCD.
Come in. Come on in. How was she? What did mom do that you
my
would
mom
say is OCD? I'm so glad to have Carolina here. Y'all kidding me? This makes my night. Come on in, Lana.
I told Mother Jennifer this story a while back. But my mom had, you know, four girls and one boy. And we didn't clean the house for like a week, I think it was. And she showed up while we were in school and messed the entire house up.
So that you were cleaning.
Yep. I mean, the refrigerator was open.
Uh-huh.
Everything you could think of was flipped.
Dumped
all
it out.
All the clothes out on the floor.
Where did that?
Yeah, she did it all.
Pulled the dresser drawers out, flipped the mattress, pulled the sheets off. See?
Blind
smiling.
And we thought we got robbed.
Oh,
like,
my
oh,
God.
Man.
You got
so we're looking at each other like, did we get wrong? Oh, my God, let's call mom. So she said, no. The house should never be dirty when there's four girls in the house. when she said y'all finna clean it up.
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom, from the front to the back. You start with one room, and you work your way to the front.
Amen.
And then y'all going to do the yard, the backyard, and the front yard. She said, so, you know, it was like.
Single mom. And single mothers had to be really strong mentally because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
mm-hmm.
minds against yours. You know, so you have to be really strong in the decisions that you make because somebody's going to not agree with my mind, you know, so they had to be really, really strong. So me and Caroline have talked about our mothers being OCD. My mother was extremely clean. And so something happened in my 20s and I went to college and I got my own mind and I didn't care. And I didn't want to keep my house like your house. And all those spirits that you take on to wasting money and buying more things and forgetting my background, right? And so, yeah, we all have these stories. We have stories of how we became who we are. But if you're going to be a biblical woman, right, you got to clean up. Thank you. Hey, anything else come to mind with this show? I mean, you're just listening, right? But say anything.
Well, when it comes up to the young ladies, how you were, you know, how they were asking how they can learn and things like that, you know, of course you can get your books, too.
Yeah.
That can really teach you how to fix a bed or how to, you know, keep your... learn organizing skills and things like that.
Yeah.
But you can also, like, reach out to sisters that you know that are known for that. I've had a lot of sisters call me that have children, and I always tell them, my schedule's a little bit different. I don't have children. I could do more. You know, but if you're desiring to discipline yourself, because it does require discipline, a lot of things that we do on the land is not always what we want to do. But when you're doing it with discipline, you're doing it as if you're doing it with so much love, nobody can really tell. So when it comes up to you really wanting to discipline yourself, diligence will come with that. But when you really want to discipline yourself, wake up early.
Yes.
Wake up extremely.
Yes.
Yeah, make your day so long that at the end of the day, when you sit down, the house and the children are settled.
Yes.
And then your master
Everybody's
comes
tired.
Home. Yes. And your mind is calm because guess what? You've done everything and you feel accomplished. And then your master comes home, and guess what? He feels the peace. And now you can tend to him with the right heart. Because if you don't, you're going to tend to him with a sick heart, and he's going to be able to tell. And guess what he's going to ask? What's wrong with you? And guess what you're going to do? You're going to lie. Nothing.
Nothing.
And you just lie before Yahweh. That little lie just got you in trouble, you know, before the king. So why not just... you know, get to a place of disciplining yourself, wake up extremely early, get your relationship with the Most High taken care of, and then challenge yourself by cleaning your room first. Then by that time that it gets to, like, we go to breakfast at 8, Ashley?
Every morning, 8 o'clock, yes.
When it gets to that time, before it even gets to that time, you take care of the room, your relationship with Yahweh, you take care of the room, you go take care of your face and all that stuff there, and then you start getting the children up, and then start getting ready to go to breakfast at 8. You know, just get to a place of really disciplining yourself. And the hardest thing that comes for us women is waking up extremely early.
Yeah, yeah.
And killing the flesh. And
kill
starting
flesh.
Our day
kill it.
Early. If you can start your day early, you will get disciplined. Your skills will get more tighter and smoother.
That 8 a.m. breakfast did it to us, didn't it? It killed our flesh. Like, all right, if I'm gonna eat at 8 and I gotta be there, then I'm about to get up way before that, and I'm gonna knock all these things out. I'm gonna do this for so many years that my flesh is not gonna talk anymore about this 8 o'clock breakfast. That I'd like to be asleep, by the way, right? Because I'm grown. My early years of, oh dang, 8 is early, man. 8 was early when I got here. My gentrifier was 27. 8 was early.
Oh,
now it's like, come on, it's 3:30. Let's go. Get up,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
You sleep, don't sleep past 5, you know, if you're real tired. And if on a good day, it's 6th day, I ain't going to tell y'all what time I might want to sleep till. Because I don't get everybody up. Let me put it like that. I don't get everybody up. But keep going, Lana.
But
what
the children do get older and they make it easier. You
absolutely.
Know that, Ashley, because you're starting to see the fruit
yes,
of that.
Absolutely.
So when it goes to, yeah, so, you know, just disciplining yourself. You know, check your flesh, get it into submission to the Holy Spirit that is within you, and just start moving. Just start slow. I've had a lot of sisters call me and ask me how to go about that, and I tell them just start really slow. Start early, though, and you're going to be groggy, and you're going to be kind of stinky, and, you know, you just got to shake that off, walk back and forth from the living room till you kind of shake off the sleep. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And just start you know, talking to the Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Get that blessed moment.
Yes, just get it going, and you'll eventually, it won't even be all of that.
Right.
I'm serious. And then if you really don't know how to do nothing, like Ashley said, you got YouTube. How do you fix a bid?
Right.
How do I do this? A lot of it has to do with your mental. I can clean a whole building. When my mental, when my mind is clogged up with a lot of stuff and I'm under the attack of the enemy, put me in a building that is completely cluttered.
And just go at it.
And I will go at it. And I will come out good.
Yeah, once you move your flesh.
Once you move your flesh. So it's like you just have to, like, know what's going on in your mind, slow it down, get out of your flesh, because your flesh is going to want to attack you. Then it's going to attack your husband. Then it's not going to like your children. Then it's going to go somewhere, whatever else. You know how that kind of...
and finger pointing.
You know how that cycle,
are gonna get called.
That vicious cycle goes.
Right.
You got up with Yahweh. You're doing it with a purpose. You're doing it to set yourself free.
In this one life we have to live, by the way.
In this one life, you know what I'm saying? You got a goal you're going to, and that's to be right before Elohim every second of your day. Just focus on that. Keep your mind on that. And everything that you're doing is going to be to, you know, the Most High, you know, and...
I can't think of a better show that you would have came on. You had no idea what we were talking about.
No. My husband's out of town, so I was like, I can't come out here.
And she's come to the show live, and she has no idea, Mother Jennifer. Hey, Mother Jennifer, do you have any questions or just comments to Carolina? She's trying to walk out of here, but... Hallelujah.
I do have a question, Ashley, for you. It's my final one that I have here, and I'm glad that Carolina brought up, really being disciplined and, just having a routine that you follow. But, Sister Ashley, you can speak to this. It says, as a mother with multiple small children and no help, how do you maintain the cleanliness of your master's home on a regular basis? Sister Ashley?
All right. As a mother with no help, you would want to minimize the things that you have. The majority of homes, I want to say, in probably, can I say, in a matriarchal world or in a just American culture, the majority of the homes do start to develop stuff that belongs to the woman, you know, or the children, way more stuff than belongs to the man typically, right? So you want to look at that balance in the home and say, how can I get that fixed? How can each person have just what they need, you know? Because if he, she, your children have less and you have less, it will take so much stress off of what you have to wipe, clean, tidy, or do, and you won't feel so cluttered. That's why a lot of, you know, there's that big push on the minimalistic lifestyle. Doesn't work well for those of us homesteading, right? Someone such as Sonia Crago, who is an incredible housekeeper, incredible home maker, homekeeper, and what's the other word? Homesteader. Yeah, homesteader. Someone who's prepping, you know, Johanna's prepping. She's got food, right? Which is another wise thing that we do for our husband's house. He entrusts us with his money to order and keep and maintain the things that the family will need and buy and eat, right? So it's another thing we do. So I'm not saying go the minimalistic route, but most definitely you want to, you know, the food matters more than the other things. And so you just want to look at the balance. I think that's all I want to say to the sister who, okay, you don't have help, you don't have someone helping you, but your children before long are going to be a help. You know, they're going to be a help if you're teaching them and pouring into them right. And you should enjoy waking up to them and waking up and teaching and training them. Talk to the Father about your relationship with each child, you know, how you feel about each child, what each child is lacking. Don't walk away from, you know, this show with what you lack unless you attend on taking that to the Father and telling him about it. You know, don't be condemned. Talk to the Father about it and make those changes like Lana said. But I know that there is, I do praise the Most High, Yah, Mother Jennifer, for the life that we live because I do have help. I have women in my life that love children and love Deacon's children and, you know, want to be around them for either short or long periods of time, doesn't matter, want to help them, want to hug them, hold them, or say something to them. And I know that that can, from the outside, be very, you know, it can tempt you to covet, honestly, because you don't have it. You know, so you just want to be careful to give all glory and honor to the Most High Yah for what you have, which is a beautiful family, whether one child or more, whether none, and just a husband, whatever your circumstance is. You want to be grateful and content in that, and ask him the same questions that you want to ask me and mother. You know, ask him the same questions you want to ask Carolina. Like, man, if I had 10 minutes to sit down with Carolina, who is organized by nature, what would I ask her? Okay, well, ask that to Yah. You know, ask the same question that you just asked me to the Most High Yah and see how he leads you. Come on, Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, very, very sound. I think it's very important also to not dwell on the fact that you don't have help, because a lot of times you can, you know, just wallow in the fact, oh, woe is me, I don't have help, I'm by myself. And you know, that can cause you to make excuses to not do anything at all. But if you continually move forward in gratitude that, okay, this man has provided a home for me, so I need to show my gratitude by taking care of it and taking care of him, taking care of his children, you know, you'll go a lot further that way. And we do have the email, Sister Ashley.
Yeah, go ahead with the email.
It says, Shalom and bless you, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. Coming to the ministry, I learned to be cleaner by listening to Sister on hygiene. And also when Mother Jennifer said to always go to bed with a clean house on another sister to sister. Since that time, I started cleaning my home often, washing the dishes before going to bed, even if I'm tired. After visiting the hub, I already threw away my sponges and bought dish towels. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Because the wisdom you all share is truly a blessing to all of us in so many ways. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley?
Absolutely. I can't accredit the Most High and the women in my life enough for any strength that I may have or the things that, you know, that I've have within the home, like something, how to wash, how to do that, all the how-tos. I'm not so big on the videos and the visuals, though I'm telling you guys to go check them out, right? I actually have those people in my life that I can look at, and I thank the Father for that because, as she was saying, she can go home and throw away a sponge, right, just because she came here once. Like, everything, I've lived here long enough to know that this is my life, this is my everything. Everything that I know, I got here. You know, I got very minimal growing up from my mother or from this culture. I got a lot of shit that I got to unload. But as far as learning, I got it right here. So I think you can have that testimony, too, in the years to come, you know, that you got it right here. You got it with the Father, that he was your teacher using the people around you. Mother Jennifer, I got a question real quick in text. It says, Shalom, Sister Ashley, bless you, Mother Jennifer. Can you talk about having a stewardship over a task and doing it to the best that you can so that you won't or won't need to ask for help? Or when you didn't give your all in it, and then you're asking for help. Is that passive or lazy? She's probably trying to chop it up and not be so wordy, so it didn't flow so smooth. But can you talk about having a stewardship over a task that you're doing and doing it to the best you can? Yes, that should be all the time. When I can't do something to the best of my ability, I try to communicate it to someone else because I live communally, that I'll be right back, or I didn't get to finish this, or this has got my name on it, or whatever. I try to tell somebody. That's really important for me because it's in the back of my mind that others are going to notice, you know, and we need to be accountable to our words when we can't finish. And then she also said, not giving your all, being passive, or being lazy. Living at a community where we're all human, fallible, and flawed, and everybody don't have a very high standard, period. You have women who are not women in cleanliness are actually girls, honestly, girls in their mind and their mentality. And usually when you have a girl's mind, whether you're a mother or no matter how old you are, you're not going to be very diligent. You know, you might not be on time, or you might not clean properly, or you have to be trained. And that's okay. That's what we come to the community for. We come here to learn. You know, we don't come here perfect. And so there's a standard that's presented, and we all need to strive for that. Sometimes you'll hear that standard talked about, and we ain't even achieving it. okay? And that's where we got to step up, right? But we do try to maintain the standard in our speech, knowing where it should be mentally in our minds. We know what it's supposed to be like, and we should all be striving for that. It's our kitchen, it's our living room, our dining hall, everything is ours, right? And you do have, at times, people that put more love, more care, more time and attention into the details than others. But at the same time, you as a person should want to have that nature to clean up and continually keep your standard, no matter who did it, just as if it was a child, right? Because I might have four sons, but if I go in the kitchen, might be three or four more daughters I need to clean up after, right? Or then at times somebody got to wipe up after me. I'm a kitchen manager, right? Very laid back, by the way. And Jordan's always on to me about the mistakes I make in the refrigerator, as she should be. I'm like, why are you always over my shoulder right when I'm putting something in here that shouldn't be in here? Because I forgot. I'm not doing it, you know, willfully. Y'all got to go with me. But I'm like, Jordan's right there. She show up right beside me like, tomatoes don't go in there. I'm like, whoa, you came out of nowhere, Mother Jennifer. I'm telling you, it's a little inside joke we got. But she's saying, can it be passive? Can it be lazy? I'm talking fast on purpose. I can slow down, y'all, because I know I got another text. Mother Jennifer's got something else, too, but can it be passive and lazy? Absolutely. You know who's going to tell somebody they're passive or lazy? The Ruach. I can't chase women to tell them they're passive or lazy. Maybe they think I am in an area. Guess who's going to tell me? The Ruach. He might use my husband or someone else in my life, but we have to allow the Ruach to do his work amongst us. At times there may be, you know, a little bit of irritation as we are all dwelling together, but you got to allow the Ruach to do his work and just make up the hedge and endure one another. Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley, I'm glad you said that. The Ruach is the one that will convict, because the heart knows its own bitterness. And you know if you have given your all or not. And I'm glad you brought up the point about, you know, this is ours. This belongs to us. If you live on a homestead or a community, the kitchen that you cook in does not just belong to you. It belongs to the people. It belongs to everyone. So you want to make sure that someone else is not having to suffer or wait on you because you haven't finished what you've needed to do. You will know if you've given your all or not. If it's a task that, you know, like Sister Ashley said, she will communicate, hey, I'm coming back to do this. Well, what if she forgets? It's good that she communicated it because somebody else can step in and finish it for her. And that's how everything works. But it's not an intentional thing where she is actually forgetting. If you communicate, hey, I'm coming back to do this, but you don't come back and it's on purpose, then you will be convicted. The Holy Spirit will convict you. So again, the heart knows its own bitterness. The Ruach is the one that will lead you and guide you and convict you as well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Another question a sister asked via text was, can you talk about wasting a brother's money, maybe not being good keepers at home by not knowing how to cook or how to save food or clean, not buying too much cleaning solutions, stuff we don't need, etc. For a community, you would be an example of that first. By being an example that others can follow, someone would notice, and that's how the Ruach works. Like, okay, this sister got good ideal cleaning supplies. Okay, this sister saving money, pinching pennies. All right, this sister wasting everything. You know, this sister is burning everything. Right? We all can see these things. That's what makes it grind, you know, around here. And so you got examples of, you know, like sharpening you, kind of charting your course. And so if you see that this is an issue and you're in a community, then you change it inside you because you're the one bothered, right? And so what you don't want is that to be an offense, because the offense is going to say, why isn't she like me, right? That's what offense is always, it's always challenged by, this should go the way I like it. Right? The cleaning supplies, the food, the saving the food, the wasting the brother's money, like, we shouldn't be doing this shit. That's an offense, right? That's going to come from inside you. So you want to make sure that you be an example in these areas and then allow time to teach and train other women, or for the father to lead others right in front of you for you to be an example of, okay? If you're not community, And I'm sure the question will be community, right, because she's saying wasting the brother's money. If you're not community and you're just in your husband's house, I'll jump to you, Mother Jennifer. How can a woman just not waste her husband's money?
Sister Ashley, I think it's very important for women to understand and know how to function with the basics, just very, very minimal supplies when it comes to cleaning. You should know how to clean with just soap and water and a little bit of bleach. You should know how to just do that. You should understand how to cook with just salt and pepper. If you need more than that means that you've got some work to do. It's going to set you up to complain when you don't have all of these five-star seasonings or all these expensive cleaning solutions, and it's just going to set you up to murmur and to complain. But it's the very, very basics you need to learn how to actually work with. And from there, you will be able to have gratitude. I think for me, you know, and I tell women this all the time, if you understand and know how to cook with just salt and pepper and your food tastes good, then you have an advantage. You definitely do. If you know how to clean with soap, water, and a little bit of bleach, then you have an advantage. Because when you get the extra stuff, then you've got a little bit more to work with. I think it's good to come out of your comfort zone so that you can learn how to work with the minimal things and you can learn how to save money as well. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Well said. Let me see. I think I covered the things that were sent to me. Oh, no. One more thing via text was sent. How do you, I'm going to go to you, Mother Jennifer, because you live communally and had years of experience sharing a home with other saints, and everyone has a different mind. How do you communicate the standard of cleanliness amongst different-minded sisters, sisters who do clean differently? What do you make an issue, and what do you let slide? And maybe that's, you know, too general. Maybe people have to find out for themselves. But talk to me a little bit about that.
I think, Sister Ashley, that there's always someone who has a very good high standard of cleanliness, and that is the one that should be over the cleaning. So let's just use the kitchen as an example. If someone is appointed over the kitchen, they should have a good high standard of cleanliness, and the people are going to follow that particular standard because you know that that particular person has the mind of the community head, the community leader. That particular person knows that if the community leader walks into the kitchen, they will be satisfied because the mind of that particular leader has been followed. So everyone needs to be on board with the mind of the community leader. The person that's over the kitchen is going to be able to communicate that standard, that mind. When you talk about letting things slide, I think it's best to have an approach where you don't really let things slide, because cleanliness is very important. When you start to let things slide, then months down the road, people will think that rules have changed. They will think that, you know, this particular rule is not important anymore because it wasn't communicated. And I find that miscommunication is the biggest thing that will cause misunderstandings. So not saying that you have to be aggressive in your communication. So I'm not really sure about the term letting things slide. Everything needs to be communicated, but you don't need to be aggressive in your communication. You don't need to be angry in your communication. You need to be passionate about the fact that things are clean, because like you said, Sister Ashley, you use the word unsafe. If the kitchen is not properly cleaned, that is an unsafe environment. You're feeding people. They have to be able to feel safe in that environment. You need to be able to make sure that people are not going to get sick because the, let's say if the dishes are not rinsed properly and somebody could get sick because there's soap left on the dishes. Let's say the dishes are not cleaned properly. Somebody could get sick because there's food left on the dishes. You know, there's a lot that can happen when you're in an unclean environment. So I think communicating, you cannot communicate enough when you are on a community and it comes to cleanliness. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. We are definitely doing that here, just holding each other to the standard, communicating one to another, and then finding that balance amongst each of us of bearing your own burden and doing it yourself, you know. Just when, you know, Diane's the one that taught me that just when you think that you're the one that's cleaning up after everybody, wait till somebody comes and tells you they cleaned after you. And that's that balance of community. Don't think yourself so high-minded that no one's wiping up anything you did, that no one's helping you. Right. And yeah, that's the life we live. I got a few announcements I want to do. I think it's about time, but I loved Aya's post. She said it's been a good topic. Teaching children to clean well has been a very part of humbling her. And I like this point that you made. You said your master pointed out how when you were cleaning that there was a very dominant spirit that came over you. Thank you for your vulnerability, because that is something that can come over a mother training her child. She said, I turned into a commanding sergeant, and I've learned a different teaching style so that they can clean with joy. That's definitely something that I also noticed, that there was a anxiousness or an impatience within myself in the early years of really waiting on your child to clean or clean right and not having your speed, you know, and holding them to this standard that they've never wiped that before, they've never cleaned that before, they've never known that before. And so to hold them to your standard is just absurd, really. And another comment here says, you just gave me something to reflect on. Hallelujah, Sister Aya. If I'm being a commanding sergeant or not, definitely something to self-reflect on. Absolutely, we need to take the time to involve our children in what we do and then not to yell or be a commanding sergeant when they're doing something they've never done. Yes, love them enough. So Sister Candace is very, very wise and good, and thank you so much for that, Mama Aya. Praise Yah. I got area code 816 going to the phone lines. I don't believe I've answered you yet. 816, you're live. My sister, sister, thank you for your call.
816. Shalom, bless you.
Hey, Shalom. Can you hear me? We can hear you. Yes, yes. Who are we speaking to?
This is Sister Gabby.
Kansas City. Sister Gabby. Bless you, Sister Gabby. Hallelujah. Talk to us tonight. Conclude the show with your words. Take your time. Thank you for calling.
Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Bless you, Mother Jennifer. Bless you, Sister Ashley. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to start off with how the way that I grew up. Being in the home with my mom, I saw that she was cleanly until, you know, she started, like, going through life struggles. And when she would pretty much make me clean up after my siblings and everyone else who would come to the house, I used to look at it as it wasn't fair. And I was the only person that had to clean. And so if I didn't clean, I would get in trouble for everybody. I think it took about maybe a week or two of feeling like that to where I really just started analyzing my mom. I started paying attention to what all she had on her plate. I started paying attention to that she was a single mom and she was pulling double shifts to be able to take care of us. When I started looking at it from that standpoint, I become grateful that my mom wanted me to make sure that the house was clean before she came home. I started looking at it as it was a privilege and a honor to be able to clean up and have her come home and see that she didn't have to worry about it being dirty. I started looking at it from that standpoint all the way up until I became a mother. I became a wife, and I wanted to start there because when my outlook changed on it seeming like it was just me and started looking at it from the circumstances that she was going through and seeing how it was a benefit for her to be able to come home to know that all she has to do is, you know, eat her food, lay down, and get ready for the next day. I started looking at cleaning or taking care of the house, taking care of my little sisters as more than
like a duty or obligation, but just a privilege to be able to be the one that my mom or my dad could count on, to know that it would be done. And so with that mentality, I know some people may look at cleaning, look at taking care of children, looking at homeschooling or whatever, you know, all of the responsibilities that are laid upon a mother or a wife. Some people may look at it as a negative. But for me, the reason I called is I wanted to express that I actually love being able to take care of my husband and be able to take care of my children. Forgive me. When I wake up, I do desire to make sure that the room is clean, the home is clean, the outside is clean, the garden is clean. I want everything to aesthetically look great for my husband, even down to the car. Even when we are traveling, when we're going different places, I want to make sure that it's easier for him to be able to operate, him to be able to move, him to be able to function. And so I jotted a couple of things down on this note card, and I'm going to do my best to get through it. I don't want to take too much of your time.
Please go ahead. Don't worry about the time.
Yes, ma'am. So I have on here that, of course, I want to be pleasing to my master, just as I desire to be pleasing to the Most High. And in doing that, I analyze and I see how much my husband has to get done or what it is that makes it less stressful and more convenient for him to be able to flow and function. Even now that we're on a community now. And so even down to, I can give you an example, like the kitchen or the setup. The way that the kitchen is put together is in a manner where it's going to be easily accessible for whoever comes in there. Like, you don't have to ask or figure out where anything is, because I've made it to where it's going to be a less stressful environment for you. You're not going to feel like you're overwhelmed just because it's already put in a place or put in a manner where you can just go straight to it. So if there are any questions you may have, it may be just, well, how do you want it seasoned, or, you know, from that aspect. So even with having to clean up, and I have the children, I make it like an adventure, because it is an adventure for me. I have to make it fun for the children, so that way they don't look at it as a task, but as, we're going to make this look good so that daddy will be like, ooh, this was, who did this? This is perfect. This is wonderful. Thank y'all. Y'all did a wonderful job. So that they can see that them performing in a certain manner is pleasing to him, and that it's also going to be pleasing to the saints. So right now we have boys that are entering into being teenagers, so it's a whole nother method and way that they're being taught. But I have the four younger children, which is Adaya, Zachary, Mikhail, and Azayo. And so even in the room, I'll allow them, I'll say, okay, time for y'all to clean up your room. I'll allow them to clean up their room, and then I'll come in and check it, and then I'll look to see, okay, well, did you look over here? Let's check for dust. And so it's more of a communication, and it's like I'm holding their hand, but I'm not. I'm just kind of guiding them and showing them, you want to look in different areas. You want to make sure that this is organized in a manner where, say, you can't come right where you need to come, but you need to send someone. You want to make sure that it's organized in a manner where if you're not the person coming to get something that daddy's asking for that mommy's asking for, you can direct somebody exactly where to go, and then they can easily access, you know, easily find out where it is and get it. And so with the four younger children, that's how I'm teaching them and rearing them to not look at it as it's like a duty or an obligation, like something that you have to do, but something that you love to do because it's going to be pleasing to others, pleasing to your father, and pleasing to the saints that you're dwelling with. And also, like, if you go somewhere and you see that, you know, someone may need assistance in that area, to be, you know, be glad to be able to assist in that area, because that's something that I love to do, and I want them to love to do it as well. And it's more than about just making sure it looks clean. It's about the spirit and the attitude that you have when you're cleaning, because you are going to be able to feel that. And so I want to make sure that even when the saints come, they come into a place that they can feel the peace and not only just see that it's, you know, it's kept well, but they can feel that it was kept well in the right spirit. So I'm trying to make sure I said everything on my note card. I think I did. I think I said everything on here, Sister Ashley or Mother Jennifer. So I'm done. If you have any questions, I can answer, or that's it. Bless y'all, and thank you for taking my call.
Hallelujah. Sister Gabby, thank you so much for calling in. I think you covered everything very, very well. I have nothing to add to it. And, you know, I just want to say that for Sister Ashley and myself, we learn as everyone else learns. You know, the Father ministers to us too through the Sister to Sister broadcast. And I just want to say that it's not us just up here talking about things that we don't put into practice. So I just wanted everybody to understand that. But we love you dearly, Sister Gabby, and thank you so much for calling in. Shalom.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Shalom.
Bless you.
I like the audience, especially in the beginning of her speech. She was definitely speaking to an age that we may have overlooked in our communication. That's definitely the Ruach, because she's speaking like as a young daughter growing up and, you know, finding honor and helping out her family. And, of course, I can reach the younger girls that may listen to the show. So that was nice, because I didn't think of them in this context. So appreciate that, Sister Gabby. And then, of course, knowing that you are having these children in different ages and stages and coming from your experience and how you do it with the community, with meeting your husband's needs, having a pastor in this ministry as a husband, et cetera, it does speak volumes, and a lot of people are going to be looking and watching you. So I thank you for every tip that you shared. And I would say that she would be definitely somebody that you could, you know, send someone to. You know, she made herself available tonight. So, hallelujah. Carolina, Grandma Barb says hallelujah, and absolutely. So, you hopefully got somebody in your area, you know, lean to the strength of someone else and humble yourself, and let's show some fruit of repentance and make great changes. You know, some of you may be holding low standards in the homes, and no one knows about it. So make the change for your husband. Make the change for yourself. Hey, you know what I'm about to do, Mother Jennifer?
What you about to do, Sister Ashley?
I'm about to purge a bathroom cabinet that has chemicals that I don't use in it. That's what I'm about to do. What are you about to do?
I'm about to clean a ceiling fan, and I'm about to purge a closet that I have clothes in that I have not worn.
Summer texted me, and she was like, look, I got up and started cleaning just because she was listening to the show. I'm like, look, the show always hits the people that are already doing it. You're already doing it. We're already, like, diligently cleaning our homes. Like, how many people started cleaning just because we were talking about it? That's a really cute response. That's the Ruach, too. It's like, I'm going to do my absolute best. We ain't even going to sit down to listen tonight. Hallelujah. I think mothers really do, women by nature, naturally do well doing two and three things at a time. Hallelujah. It's part of our design and creation. Hey, I bless the Most High Yah, this show motivated you at all. And I do got to say, Pastor Dow is the one that told me to speak about it. And hallelujah for his motivation. He does hold us all to a standard. And he's the one that said, talk about it. And I'm glad he didn't. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean, Pastor, that he's not going to. Hallelujah. I just know that we can connect with one another, and I know he's going to think it was a softer version. But I love y'all. Hallelujah. Talk tough to yourself sometimes. Get real with yourself. Get ugly, right, Lina?
Yes.
Thank you for coming again, Lina. Thank you. Hallelujah. And Granny Barb, too. Anything to conclude, Lina? Anything come to your mind as you were sitting there listening to Gabby or ending the show?
Beautiful job listening
to Gabby, she said. Hallelujah. She said, breaking it down. She said, bless you, Mother Jen, from Carolina. And you know Carolina got early morning and late night. Let's see. Anila. Look, Anila said, bless you, Sister Ashley. And what Sister Gabby said, felt like it was meant for me, truly. Thank you for this message. It was really needed. I'm reading your name because she literally is just like a little sister to me. She said, look, here's her text. Ashley, is there any projects for first date? If so, what time? I'm like, yeah, you're motivated too. It's like, what can I come do on the land? Hey, first day, what time? We're going to be planting, right? Are we planting kale on first day, Lina?
Yes, ma'am.
I think we can do it in an hour. 6:55 is what I put on the board so that everyone will be there and we can have that full hour. 6:55 a.m. We're planting kale. All right, we're going to be harvesting some collards, too. We're going to process them after breakfast. We're going to clean the chow hall and the tabernacle on first day. Second day, we are going to weed the blackberries, hopefully weed in the creek bed down by the creek garden. We got a lot of flower beds to weed because they're angelicas. We got a can on third day. You know what we need, Lina? We want to make some spaghetti sauce the upcoming week. So maybe we need to harvest on second day. Can we talk about that? Well, sure, we'll talk about that off air. That's what me and Lina do. So if we harvest on second day, we'll boil them overnight and can on third. Get it? All right. That's what we're doing, Anila. And then we know we clean the dining hall and kitchen on fourth day. We unload groceries. We've been harvesting at 5 p.m. every fourth day night, green beans, late at night up here at near Brother Rich's home. Fifth day, we process lettuce and pickles and... what else we do today? We process beet greens. We process kale. We cleaned out drawers and cabinets in the kitchen. We snapped green beans from last night's harvest. I know you didn't ask all that, Anila, but we also raise our children, homeschool our children, teach our children, travel to and from town when we need to, communicate to each other, manage our husband's homes to the best of our ability with his leading and direction. We're always going. I mean, always go. If you see us even go inside our house, it's to go do something in there. You know, like nobody's going in there to not do anything. Like, seriously, I don't even think about people being at home because I know the women that I work with. You know, I know those that labor amongst me, and it doesn't matter. And when somebody goes down around here, it's okay because somebody else is going to pick them up. We're going to continue to grow. We're going to make this place the best place that we can to live amongst each other. I thank you to everyone who listened tonight. Hallelujah. I pray that the Most High Yah bless you, bless your husband's home, and give you the motivation you need. Remember, it can be a coping mechanism, okay, to just passively have a house that looks the way that it looks. If our show didn't motivate you, maybe you need first steps of overcoming depression, or maybe you need help psychologically in deliverance, okay? But most definitely, you can make steps towards freedom by, one, start cleaning up. If that seems too hard, you start getting deliverance, okay? If you get some deliverance, then the cleanup will come with it. If you start cleaning up, then the freedom in your mind will come with it. And most definitely it's something spiritual because as you declutter, your mind does declutter its thoughts. Hallelujah. There's something to it. Got to have that happy home environment. Let's see. Look, Nicole says she's motivated to clean tonight. That's funny. Well, listen, me and you are mopping tomorrow, all right, Nicole? And we committed to going to the gym. So we got a busy day. So whatever you clean tonight, don't let it hinder us tomorrow. She texted me. That's funny. Marshayla says she's going to clean her husband's truck. Hallelujah. Look, hold on a second, y'all. Oh, wow, my Muncie says. My grandma used to say, when people die, they turn to dust. And I don't, so I didn't like dead people in my house. My grandma used to say, when people die, they turn to dust. So I don't like dead people in my house. Hallelujah. That's nice. Mama, see, we needed that. Thank you so much for listening tonight. And thank you, Marshayla, for cleaning up that truck. Look, very convicting, she said. Y'all know we already know all the lists that we got to keep clean and get clean. So let's knock it out. Let's be better. Do better. Come on. Be somebody's cheerleader, all right? And if they need deliverance partner, be that too. Love y'all. Have a great night. Sakina, hit that shofar. Bless you, Mother Jennifer.